Hello, this is John Peters from the Netherlands. Another episode of Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine, live on bbsradio.com. And today we're going to talk about people who feel that they are not supposed to be here, or that they feel that they are, have to go away or feel lonely. And I was just reading text in the forum section that someone has the feeling, what the hell I'm doing on this planet? And of course, most people who have this feeling that they are not understood, or people laugh at them because they are strange or weird or whatever labels they use, and they still have a feeling, and I don't know why, but I have to do something here. I don't know what you know, what is my purpose, what is my goal, and I have to go to that forum section of Untold Mysteries. I responded to that, and it is someone, a Dutch guy from the Netherlands, and he started talking in English. You know, that's the first thing that he did. He was talking in English, and then he changed into Dutch, so I can translate it if necessary. But I love to read it and share it with you all, because there are more people like him. He's not alone. And for the new people, John, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that certain people have the feeling that they not belong to this planet. That they see, you know, what I'm doing here on this planet. And that it's not strange anymore, because more and more people are maybe interacting with their true self, that they really understand who they are slowly, and that they more and more find this planet so crazy that they say, this is not my planet. So what is I'm doing here? Okay, his name is Frederick. Greetings from Frederick, and I will read it for you. Hello, I am 31 years old. I live in Holland. My interest goes to Joseph Rulof, Egypt, and eternal life, UFOs, etc. Then he has his own email. And then I said, and he said, free field to knock. I'm lonely now. No, that's interesting. He said, I'm lonely. Now, my response to him was, welcome to this forum on untoldmysteries.com. Or .eu. Sorry that we are not a dating site, but it is not excluded that you might find a person that could be your soulmate. You know, that can happen, that you meet a person that could be wonderful for you to meet that person. Good luck. Be okay with yourself, with your mistakes, and you attract people who radiate that mirror for you. It was nice chatting you on Indigo Radio Chat, and thanks for joining Untold Mysteries Prepper. That's a new system that you can plant your message on a global map of Google. Great having you here. Now, this is important. Why is it that certain people have this feeling that they do not belong? And maybe because we have insights or awareness that is so beyond what we see around us that is, and then you say, it's too much. So many good people with a good, you know, good heart and a good place, on a good heart, they have this feeling this is too much. They cannot handle it anymore. And I've heard that those who commit suicide, the majority of them are not bad people. They actually are good people, but they cannot handle the, you know, how reality is nowadays happening around us. And that is a pity, because there are wonderful, genuine people with a good heart, radiating, you know, very spiritual people, that they cannot cope with this society that is going crazy, almost, like, you know, if you look around how crazy the planet is sometimes. And there's some good responses from Annelies from the Netherlands. She called herself Poppetje, that's her nickname. And then I said this. I will translate from Dutch to English. I can say a lot about this team. Who are we, truthfully? How old is our soul? Are we older than Earth? Is our soul older than the Earth? Why do we not know so much about the origins of our soul, including the insights of past lives? Why is it that more and more people have the feeling that they actually don't belong here? Has it to do with that we slowly have more access to who we are, and this is from Dutch to English, I'm translating live here. Are we really abandoned, you know, that we be left alone? some people feel like that, that they feel that they are left alone on this planet. Do we really have to be saved? And if so, who's going to, and this can be used, this is handy to be abused, so keep that in mind. Is it really necessary that we have to be saved? And if yes, then this is handy for certain people to abuse this. He talks about he wants to have a UFO experience. He loves to, that he has an encounter with a UFO and this guy wants to be flying in those UFOs and wants to experience it. But is UFO technology not the biggest distractor? It distracts you from your true self. It's kind of a worship of technology. And the question is, does it help you to worship technology in the first place? I don't think so. And I will continue with translating. Is there an agenda that will keep us systematically dumped about our true origins? Is there an agenda, a certain agenda that wants to keep us stupid about our origins on purpose? Is the shadow government network afraid of us if we have access to our true potential? And how is it with the 97% of our DNA that we do not understand? 3% of the DNA is responsible for our physical reality, how we look like, the color of your eyes, the color of your hair, and so forth. So the 3% of the DNA is for your physical presence, how you see physical. But what about the 97%? Are they slowly to be activated? And how? And why just now? Why is it that this 70% of the DNA has not been activated earlier? Has it to do with our karma in Atlantis and Lemuria and Mu? That we have a kind of a cycle that we are closing again, that we have this 2,000 or 3,000 years of experience, life after life, past lives, and that now we're going to have a climax of wisdom, integrating all wisdoms that you can make a choice. Do you want to be a slave, or do you want to be radiating freedom and let go of fear-based behavior? Then I ask questions about who are the interdimensionals. Are they beyond duality thinking? Are they the ancient light beings that come from the deep oceans? Think about it, 70% of the Earth is water, and that is huge. So sometimes people have encounters with ancient light beings. They don't necessarily have to be alien. And what is their role in our evolution, spiritual evolution? What about the extraterrestrial alien agenda? Are they as complex or even complexer than the human agenda? Think about that. When people ask about, what is the alien agenda? It's the same question, what is the human agenda? Talking about aliens, someone asked me, John, you said once that if the humans would have the technology to go to other planets, we would be perceived as demons if they just have a look what we do to the planet and how we, abuse the system and how we behave to each other with the wars and killing each other. And so if they had the technology to scan us and to learn from us how we behave, we would be perceived as demons. Now, when I say that, I don't say that we are. I only say that we are being perceived like it. According how we behave to each other and how we work the ecosystem of the Earth, being like parasites. So when I talk about that, I do that on purpose, because a lot of people that they don't know what it is, they call it a demon. So they demonize unnecessarily or wrongfully. They demonize that's what they don't know what it is. So if they have an encounter with an alien or with an extraterrestrial, they probably are confronting with their own fears, their projections on that what they see, and they demonize what they see. So they think, oh, there must be demons. I know that not everybody is thinks like that, but if you think about it and tell them, turn it around. How would you be perceived if you go to another planet? I think we are more acting like demons in comparison. So maybe, think about that. And so-called the alien agenda is more complex, or as same complex as the human agenda. So can you give me one person who can explain me what the human agenda is? Can you find one person that can say, yes, I know the human agenda? There are good guys, bad guys. There are brilliant people. There are gifted people. And they are to service to others. And then you have the parasites, the parasitical types. So I think it's the same with the alien. So if you ask, what is the alien agenda, I think it's very complex. I'm going to continue what I wrote, written in Dutch, so I translate it again. Has your soul chosen to be having a temporarily amnesia, a partial or total loss of memory, temporarily, to better understand the drama and comprehend the drama of the human drama? And only you can comprehend or understand the dilemmas and the problems that the humans face day by day is by becoming it. So on a soul level, you maybe choose to have a limited vision of reality. You choose to have temporary amnesia of your origins. And by doing so, you have more understanding how to live with limitations. And what will happen if you slowly have access to your who you truly are? You know, that you becoming more and more aware of who you truly are. And how can we do that? There are many ways to do that. And I can talk about what you can do to create a positive effect or positive experience for those who say, why is it that I don't have all those experiences? I talk with people who have a UFO encounter. I talk with people who claim to be contactees or abductees. And then the question is, why not me? I don't understand. Why don't I have those experiences? Maybe you do and you forget. It's also possible. It's also possible that when you have an out-of-the-body experience, when you sleep, you have beautiful experiences, but you forget when you come back. Now, how can you change that? Now, what you can do is, before you're going to sleep, tell to yourself, give me an insightful experience that has to do with the origins of my soul, that you want to know more about who you truly are, and that you ask that before you're going to sleep, and it will be given to you, and ask them that, or them, or it, or yourself, or your higher self, whatever, what feels good for you, ask that you can remember it when you are awake again, after this having a vision or a lucid dream. You can also ask that you are aware during the out-of-the-body experience or lucid dreaming. Now, when you do this, you have to be clear what you want. If you don't know what you want and you're having this, if you have low self-esteem, if you think you're not worth it and so forth, you will take that energy with you in that out-of-the-body experiences. So you have to be careful what you believe. You have to be careful about your fear-based thinking because it will be projected in that void or this out-of-the-body experience that will manifest in front of you. So you will be mirrored back. After you go through it and understand that you have to go through your own fear-based thinking, then you can continue to do the next level, to the next stage. So you have to know who you are and know what you're afraid of to go through it and then go to the next stage because it's all mirrored back into you. So it's not that simple. Let's have an out-of-the-body experience, let's have some wonderful contacts with extraterrestrials or light beings or whatever, or angels, and everything is okay. No, first you will be faced with your own projections and your own limited thinking. You know, if you allow yourself to surprise yourself, that is a whole different energy. So if you say, I don't know what to expect, but I have this wish that I want to learn more about my origins, my soul, and maybe I get some visions or insights that is connected with my past lives, or with my soul parents, or who are connected with you. and they are not necessarily the same as another person. It could be very well what works for you, not necessarily have to work for another person. So it's very personal. Again, if you do this, you can do it by request. And if you're sincere and you're in your own integrity and you're not playing mind games and you're not lying to yourself, you have a good chance that you will have a vision or you have a lucid dream or you have a very powerful experience. The question is, are you able to register it without... Hello, my name is John Kudus again. Now, we had some technical problems with the phone, and I can continue what I was talking about. I can make a summary, a little bit of summary. You're listening live now on bbsradio.com on the radio shows called Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine. I have a wonderful webpage, so if you know, want to know more about me and our team, go to untoldmysteries.com or .eu. Untold with a T, not with an S, and then mysteries, pearl, and then .com. Untoldmysteries.com. There you can see what I'm all about. I want to sum it up, what I just talked about, is that you can actually create an own personal experience just before you go to sleep and ask yourself or your higher self or whatever you want to, you know, what you think is convenient for you, what feels good for you. Ask if you have a very vivid vision or dream or lucid dream that you can remember when you awake again that has to do with the origins of your soul that you want to know more about. And if you're in your integrity and if you are sincere, you can actually create that. You can have a wonderful experience that's so powerful, but you have to first know your own fears. What are you afraid of? So you will be mirrored back if you have any kind of fears or fear-based thinking. So keep that in mind if you do that. And of course, if you want to go deeper and faster, you can actually do breathing techniques. Now, when you breathe in and breathe out, and you do it connected, that means like a sinus wave, something will happen to you. So if you breathe out, you have to let go of everything. You can let go of your attention, of your body. You can let go of your thoughts. And every time when you breathe out, let go. And not stopping with breathing, just in and out connected. Now, when you do this, it's almost like hyperventilating, but it isn't. It isn't hyperventilation. It's almost similar. But the difference is that you're relaxed. You lay down. You check your body if everything is loose and relaxed, and then try to do connected breathing, circular breathing technique almost, like a didgeridoo, you know, what you see with the Aborigines, the native people of Australia. Now, when you do this breathing technique, and you do this 10 minutes or 20 minutes, you are so full of oxygen in your body, and every time when you let go, and you say, let go, let go, every time you say let go of the worries, of let go of the any kind of tension. And the more oxygen you have in your body, the more you are able to do something with your brain, because there are sections of your brain that will be activated if you do so. Normally, when you are proactive and you think much and you do much and you walk, everything needs oxygen. But if you are completely relaxed and you are full of oxygen, it is possible that you will have a deeper sleep, that you can actually come to a point that you even don't have to breathe anymore because you so have wonderful oxygen in your body. And the moment that you are in this absolute zero, even if you don't have to breathe anymore, that can be 1 minute or 30 seconds or whatever, but there is a moment that you don't even have to breathe because of the amount of oxygen that is already in your body. And this stillness in absolute nothingness is everything. Kind of a paradox, but if you come in this complete silence inside yourself, you have only total awareness. Now, this total awareness is being described as nirvana, or it is being described as feeling total oneness with everything that is. And if you even have a split second of that experience, you look at so-called problems or dilemmas or dramas from a total different perspective. you will say to yourself, is that what I always worry about? Oh my God, it's so simple. But it is so simple because you actually use more of your full potential, of your hidden parts of your brains. And the majority of the people use only 15% of their lung capacity. You know, if you breathe deep, that is a full deep breath from the belly. That is, let's say, 80% of your lung capacity. But the majority only breathes slightly up the upper chest, and that's it. And then we have also not enough oxygen in the air. So it's obvious if you smoke that you even have less oxygen, and then we get that our immune system is going down. There's even many different diseases can be solved by oxygen therapies. If you just Google it, you will see that it exists and that people can get rid of many different types of diseases thanks to oxygen therapies. But why is it so important? Because if you are faced with something heavy or emotional, and you want to cry or even laugh or whatever, it's actually that you need oxygen. Have you think about that? Why is it that people need to cry? Why is it people need to laugh? Indirectly, it also has to do with the lack of oxygen, that your brain is kind of coping it anymore, and then you're going to laugh or you're going to cry because it's too much. So the emotions have no way of... Your brain cannot cope with it. It cannot deal with it. And then you need to cry or you need to laugh or you need to yawn, for instance. It's all about deprivation of oxygen, that you have not enough of it. But if you do it on purpose, that you have a lot of oxygen in your body, then something magical will happen to you. You will have different dreams. You will sleep deeper. You can actually sleep 4 hours, and when you go awake again, you have the feeling that you slept for 8 hours and that you're totally fit again, you know, energized again. So there is a connection between using breathing techniques. And if you do it often, then you're going to do it also in your dreams, this breathing technique. So it's like if you do it, the technique of rebirthing technique, it's a kind of a technique to breathing techniques. If you do it often, your subconscious is going to do it too, in your dream. And that will generate that you have actually a deeper understanding of yourself. So actually, if you don't breathe, if you are like use only a fraction of your lung capacity, actually what you do is you don't deal with it, you don't cope with it. You don't want to go through the emotion. So actually oxygen will help you to go through it. Let's say there is a solution and let's say there's a problem. The only thing what is in between is a wall. And this wall is you. You are the one blocking the solution and that merging of solution problem into oneness, and that you can transform it and get rid of it, of the problem, can only happen if you break the walls. Now, one of the walls is breathing, to break the walls through breathing. And that this is also important when you want to examine yourself, who you truly are. And... And you know, it's normal to have limitations. It's normal that you have not awareness of a supreme being, of course, but you can, if you wish, have access to it. And I told it many, many times, and it's a very powerful statement. Consider this. If there is a prime creator that created everything, and everything that comes from it is of it, now, please tell this to any religion. Tell it to the Muslims. Tell it to the Christians. Tell it to the Buddhists. Tell it to any religion. Tell this. If there is a prime creator that created everything, then everything that comes from it is of it. Now, why is it so important, this statement? Is that if you are of it and from it, therefore you have, in principle, you have the capacity to connect with it. You see what I mean? And separateness is a free choice, so that we feel separate and lonely and blah, blah, blah. It's all about the choice that we want to be separate. And that is called, if there is a very powerful force that is so loving and so kind, it even allows you to be separate. And a lot of people think that they are not responsible for being separate. Actually, you are. Now, maybe thousands and thousands of examples of people knowing inside the answer, but they don't use it. You know, you can have wonderful wisdoms, you can have wonderful insights, but if you don't use it, what is the point? Now, that's what I see around me. I see wonderful people having wonderful wisdoms, but if you don't use it, you just have this rational approach. But the moment that you put it to practice, then you see you can actually have a oneness experience instead of separate experience all the time. So there is an energy that is all around us that can assist you, that can help you. But maybe you are stubborn, or maybe you don't like to be confrontational, because if you have access to this kind of awareness, you will be confrontational to other people who are separate also. So you have all those people around you that are also separate in their behavior. And then when you have this oneness experience, this awareness that you can explore in yourself, and you have this opportunity to put it to use, you can be very confrontational to others because they see something that they don't do. They maybe feel it that they have to do it, but they resist it. Now, why is it that there's so much resistance to this inner voice or inner awareness or inner... Maybe because we are afraid of the consequences. And I see too many good people not using their potential. How many times that you look around you and that you feel, I think the people are like zombies, you know, they're completely robotized and are not, you know, they just have to do what they have to do to fit the program and to belong. And it's time that you have to you make a choice. If you radiate freedom, if that is what you stand for, you will attract people who do the same. If you choose, I want to use self-censorship and I want to fit in the program, you will attract people doing the same. It will be mirrored back all the time. You will always have confirmation. Whatever choice you make, you will have confirmation. So if the cosmos or the cosmic energy or this loving, kind, prime creator, if this is really unconditional, then it allows you to be mirrored back whatever you choose. Think about that. Whatever your convictions or your belief systems are, you will be mirrored back. That kind of unconditional love there is. If you say, I'm separate, there's no connection with whatever, I don't believe in afterlife, this is it, and you will be mirrored back in that energy. Until you're fed up with yourself. So the universe is so kind to you that it allows you whatever you choose, you will be helped. You will be unconditionally, you will be helped in whatever conviction you have. And then you have the people who say, yeah, but what about that I believe that there's good there, but I only see bad things happening around me. I don't understand. I'm projecting love and kindness. I'm being service to others. And I still have bad experiences, John. How can you explain that? Maybe because there's a part of you that you don't recognize or don't want to recognize. I call it self-denial, that you are being of service to others in extreme, that you're running away from yourself by doing so. So what you are doing actually is self-denial, running away from yourself, and only be of service to others in extreme, and thinking that you do a good job. And every time when you communicate with people, you are actually think of the other person as that is the most important that I have to do, and I am always doing good and think about good things. But at the same time, you forget one person that is so important, that is that you are also kind to yourself as well. So there is a deep-rooted self-denial that creates the problem that you face, what we just described. Even if you are convinced there are good people out there, and even if you're convinced I'm doing good things, I'm being of service to others, look at me, I'm so doing good things, you know, and still you can attract circumstances that will reflect your self-denial, that you actually do not wish to feel what you really feel inside and you know, make it available and say it to your friends. I think everybody recognizes that when you want to play nice all the time, because that's easier, you know, to play nice and that people like you, that you want to be liked, that mechanism that you want to be liked and that you play nice all the time is also a form of self-denial. You want to be of service to others in extreme. And if you have this self-denial, that person is not aware that you're doing it. So if you are not expressing the true feelings, and that person is not aware of it, you can complain later that, yeah, but I was in the past, I did this and I did that and I felt this, but I didn't say it. And, you know, so it's going to build up. You have all these frustrations and pain, and it's not going to away, not going to be away if you have this embedded into your body. Your body is like a huge computer, not computer, it's not the right thing. It's a huge energy absorber of emotions and of experiences, and how you really felt, and your true feelings will be embedded into your body, in your human cells. It will remember what you have done and what you have experienced and what you not expressed to the other person. So you're walking time bomb, having all this frustration of emotions inside of your body, not released because you didn't give it, you know, what I just said, you have this self-denial. And the moment when you come to a pattern over and over and over again, you're going to talk probably in super Latifa, we call it in Dutch. It means that you over-ejaculate the problem because it's too tense, because you have it had before. So frustration on frustration on frustration on frustration, it builds up, and you are still in self-denial. You don't want to give it space to allow it to be. And then comes to a point, it's too much. And when you are kind to yourself, you allow yourself to be yourself and say, this is what I feel. And it's important, instead of saying that you're not important. You see, people think it is egotistical to say that you have to, if you say that you're important or that you have to be kind to yourself, people interpret that as being egocentric, or how do you say this, that you are egocentric. But it isn't. It has to do with, if you really take care for yourself, then people will understand you better. And then you can actually give them more. You have more to offer to them. You can be more of service to them. And it will be more pure. It will be more truthful instead of playing games or playing nice all the time. You see what I mean? And I see too many people playing nice and withholding the true self. You can actually do a test, just an experiment. You just decide for 1 week, I'm going to really say what I feel. And I can give you some techniques or tips. Techniques is a wrong word. You can say this. Three steps. If you have problems with something and your emotions and your feelings cannot deal with a certain dilemma or problems with a person, you can say this. This is what I see. And you describe what you see without exaggeration. You just say it as it is. What you could describe what you see, what your dilemma is. Then you say, step two, how do you feel about it? You know, I don't like it. I think I have troubles with it. And then the third step is that you express your wishes. That you say, but the next time I hope you do it differently. But the first step, that you describe what you see, you can always ask feedback. You can say, was it correctly? Is it correct what I say? And then maybe part of it is true and part of it is a misunderstanding. So if you have this antenna open that it could be different than you think it is, you're actually learning from expressing yourself and giving yourself more space and giving yourself more freedom. Radiate freedom and allow yourself to do it. And when you do this, you will see that certain people you will disappear in your life because of this. But you attract new people who respect you for who you truly are and not for the games that you have to play to fit in. You see what I mean? So everything will be mirrored back. So if you are truthful to yourself, if you're honest to yourself and you allow it to be yourself, you'll be mirrored back and some people will respect you for who you truly are because you reject certain people and you attract new people to come into your life so that your quality of life will be faster and easier and you have a kind of a spiritual evolution. So this mechanism is very simple, actually. if you have problems on your work, with your colleagues, with your friends, with your family, just allow yourself to say, this is what I see, correct me if I'm wrong, this is what it does with me, this is what I feel about it. And if they don't take you feeling serious, then you have to reevaluate your relationship with that person, the quality of your relationship. Reevaluate it and say, oh, I see that you're not taking my feelings serious. I don't know if I want to be with you longer. You see what I mean? You have to make a decision. So your first step, describe what you see. The next step is explain what it does with you, you know, how you feel about it. And the third step is that you express your wishes, how it could be different. I hope the next time it will be like this. It will be cool if you do like that and that. You see? Then you have, if you follow those three steps, you will see that the quality of your life will be accelerate. You are truthful to yourself, and you are truthful to the person. You see what I mean? You actually connect with that person on a truthful basis, and not on mind games, and not on masks and role play. You actually connect if you do this. You connect with yourself and with your feelings, and you connect with the person. Now, this can be difficult in the beginning. And certain people will say, what the hell are you doing? You know, they're not aware that you are able to express yourself in that way. And if they don't like it, so be it. You know, you have to make a choice. What is more important? Your quality? And if you don't do this, you probably get diseases. You get problems, or you get even more problems. And then who are shouting, I'm lonely, I don't understand why I'm so lonely. It has to do with what is the source of that problem being lonely. The source is, or the origin of the problem, is that you are not taking care of yourself, of your emotions, of your feelings, and you don't express it. That's the majority of those who are feeling lonely. You're not able to express their true feelings. And it's extremely important to do this. If you postpone it all the time, it makes it more worse, and people will not understand it anymore later because it's too long ago. You see what I mean? So the longer you wait with this, the more difficult it will be to explain it. So what you can exercise is, I start today, and if something is happening that I don't like, I will say it immediately. I'm not waiting months later, you know what I mean? Because then it's too late. So when you see it happening, again, you are truthful to yourself, and you're also using your creative potential to solve the problem, to say maybe we can do it different. You see, it's nothing to do with that you're angry at a person. If you really care about someone else and you do this, it's like working together. You know, you say, I like to that it could be different. And why do you like that it could be different? Because you care about that person. And you have to care about yourself as well at the same time. Now, and that is for a lot of people, it's very difficult to do that, you know, to be careful to yourself, or to care for yourself enough to do this. And yeah, this is all a response because of this forum posting that I saw on untoldmystery.com web radio. Sorry, untoldmysteries.eu forum, and that's my response, because I have the feeling that a lot of people who are feeling lonely can have several causes, several reasons. You can be lonely because you are losing friends or losing family, or you are misunderstood. That could be a reason, and that you are having temporarily... Sometimes I was wondering, if you have a lot of disappointments after, you know, too much after happening at once, you know, in a short period of time, you have too many disappointments, it can also trigger you to go deeper into yourself and ask, why is this happening to me? This can also be an opportunity that you go in and ask yourself, give me a vision, give me a dream, to give me more insights. Why is it that I have those dramas and dilemmas and problems than I've had last month because it's too much. So if you come to a point that you cannot handle it anymore, that it's too much for you, and you feel left alone and that you cannot cope with it anymore, it's too much disappointments in a short period of time, you can literally ask yourself before you're going to sleep, give me an insight or a dream that I can understand this, that I can make sense of it. Because I guess certain people would say, why me? Why not the other person? And sometimes, I think most of the time, when you go through this pain and drama, you come more stronger out of it. You can actually be better of service to others if you understand this problem more and have different insights, and then you can actually connect with people who have the same dramas or same dilemmas or same problems. You can actually be more richer in your emotions and understanding because you went through it. You see what I mean? Let's say that nothing will happen to your life, that there's no way of disappointments, everything goes perfect, you snap in your fingers and it will happen. Do you really, if you have that kind of life, do you really think that you have this rainbow colors of emotions experience? No, you just have a scratch the surface of emotions. So to appreciate certain emotions, you have to actually have lived all of it. And I believe that when we go through all of it, you're actually going to appreciate things more if you go through stages. And at the time that you have it, you don't like to hear that. You know, you say, oh, no, it's too bad. Poor me mentality creates poor me reality. Keep that in mind. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. So I will repeat that. Poor me mentality creates poor me reality. Dramas are can happening without you influencing it, but there's also a kind of intuition that everyone has, but you don't listen to it. Now, what is the price of not listening to your inner voice or your inner consciousness or your inner awareness? The price is that you have experiences that you will blame others, that you say, yeah, they did it to me. Think about that, of those who would talk like that. And you can also ask, why is it that you don't listen to your inner voice? Why is it that you don't listen to your inner awareness? Have you never felt that there was kind of knowing and you didn't listen to it? That you say you are stubborn and you say, oh, no, I don't want to listen to this feeling or awareness because I want to check it out for myself. And you have this rational brain thinking that you have to do different. And then you have this, all those dramas. Some people can even be addicted to it. They even connect their drama with their identity. It's like if you have not had those dramas, who would you be? So some certain people are addicted to dramas because then they can tell, look at me, what I have done and what I have experienced. And what you see, they even think it's a part of their identity. But maybe the true identity is not the way the dramas are, but how you deal with it. The quality of an identity is best measured how you deal with problems in the first place, and not how you keep it in status quo, that it will repeat over and over. If you have this pattern of that it is repeating over and over again, that is not the quality of your identity. The quality is how you deal with it. How can you transform it? And if you think you're not able, then that will be mirrored back. So if you believe, oh, I'm not up to it, no problem. We will mirror you that back to you in your face. So be aware of your convictions and your belief systems, because it will be mirrored back. It will be manifesting until you're fed up with yourself. That you say, no, I'm fed up. Now I want to change this. I want to have a different approach, or I'm open for suggestions that it could be different, that I allow myself to surprise myself. How many people around you are chronically negative or pessimistical? And tell them, please allow yourself to surprise yourself. That is a energy that creates new possibilities. But if you tell that, and most people look at you, what do you mean? Think about it, what I say. You allow yourself to surprise yourself. Because then there's no place for despair. There's no place for poor me mentality all the time. You see what I mean? And by the way, poor me mentality shouts, screams for recognition. It's like a child that is doesn't get the goods, doesn't get the toys, doesn't get the candies. It wants to be heard. So if you have this poor me mentality, it's like a child shouting for recognition. And if it doesn't get it, it will create that problem. It's like, I'm white, I'm poor, poor me, look at me, look at me, it's happening again. You see, it's what I just said. Certain energies is shouting for recognition, shouting for it will be happening again, because they have a kind of feeling that they are being recognized for that drama. They are addicted to that drama. And neutral people who look at it, they say, wait a minute, this is kind of strange. He doesn't like it, but he enjoys it when he gets the recognition if it's happening again. Kind of strange, but it's a paradox. So be aware of your convictions. It's the same with conspiracy people who think that everything is hope. There's no hope mentality, because the world is doomed. You know that kind of behavior. They actually are co-creator of that same doom that they are against. Now, I will say that slowly. A lot of conspiracy people, conspiracy researchers, they say there is no hope and that the world is doomed. They are the ones who are co-creators of the same doom that they are against, or what they are fighting against. You know, if they use the same energy and looking for the positive information that is also out there, by the way, or they use only 50% of that energy, amount of energy, to so-called expose the wrongdoings in the world, if you use the same energy to look for positive information that is out there, that's been suppressed, or you actually become a co-creator of a possible heavens. You see what I mean? It has to do with choice. If you want to be a specialist of everything that goes wrong in the world, that can be a choice. That you can choose everything when things go wrong. I'm going to study that. I'm going to expose it. I'm going to tell the world how bad the world is. If you want to be an expert on that one, that is a choice. And then you will be, people will say, wow, you do the wonderful job of exposing stuff. But what about talking about the positive things that is also happening that can free us? Again, certain people are addicted or connected with the drama, and they cannot think differently anymore. They are not able to change the behavior because they're so used to hurt this drama. Like, look at me, I know this and I know that, this is happening and this is wrong, and they're becoming an expert of everything that goes wrong. You can also be an expert of everything that goes well. Have you think about that decision? You can make a choice to become an expert of everything that goes well. It has nothing to do with denial. It has nothing to do with not wanting to listen to the drama and that is unfolding every day with this New World Order agenda and this Big Brother conspiracy sites or conspiracy information that is equally important to realize. But if you don't know the problem, how can you solve it? So you can use 50% of your energy of trying to understand complex issues and dramas, and the other 50% of wanting to come with solutions and want to be of service to change it for the better and to talk with people who are creative and positive and brilliant, optimistic. And if you are able to look for that balance, you can cope with it, you can deal with it. But if you become an expert of everything that goes bad, then you actually, again, you are a co-creator of that doom that you are fighting against. There's another wisdom. If you fight injustice 24 hours a day, 7 days in the week, and you think you do a good job, think about this. If you do that, fighting injustice you already lost the battle. Now, why is that? Why is that you lost the battle? Because you forget to enjoy life as well. But if you're not able to enjoy life as well, then you're going to have severe mental and physical problems with your body, because you have a part of yourself that wants to enjoy, that wants to dance, that wants to make music, that wants to meet people, wants to experience beautiful things. You know, our human body is not designed to swallow bad stuff every day. It's too much. You cannot handle every drama and problem that is on this planet. And look at the mainstream news. It's bombarding people, becoming powerless because of it. Okay, I've talked enough. I hope you can exercise yourself on two levels. First, how you express yourself, that you allow yourself to express your emotions. Give it space. Be truthful to yourself and let your feelings be heard. And the other one is to go within, go in. The only way out is in. It's a friend of mine who said that. So if you go in, you can ask yourself before you're going to sleep and trying to have insights, insightful visions. So that are the two things that you can exercise. So you don't have to be passive. You can actually do something. Thank you so much for listening. I know that I have to say this. I know that Donald Newsom is listening. I hope to hear you next time on Untold Mysteries Out of Quarantine on bbsradio.com. And my name is John Kulis from the Netherlands. And if you want to know more about me, go to untoldmysteries.com. Untoldmysteries.com. And then you see more about me and what I stand for.